It's time now for a weekly conversation surrounding the subdivision of Division I football with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, how was your week off? There wasn't much to talk about last week with the Bison and Jacks on a bye.
I mean, look, that's what they would think about in, you know, your region of the country. The rest of FCS football was glad for the attention that, you know, it's like that meme where the building comes and it says shade, you know. It was nice for that Bison and Jackrabbit shade to be pulled back for the rest of the subdivision to get a little pub. It was a pretty good week. You know, Montana State had a great first half, not a great second half against Mercyhurst. Tarleton was outstanding again. The Grizz put it all together on offense. A lot of good things happened for a lot of teams last week in FCS.
Mentioning a lot of teams that are playing well, because you know a little bit of everything at this point, this new D1 school, West Georgia, ranked number 18 in you guys' poll this week. Who are they? Where did they come from? And how are they transitioning to Division I? It seems like Tarleton State is, and just kicking the crap out of everybody.
Look, West Georgia has everything they need to be a successful FCS football program. They're in a place that has a lot of football players, state of Georgia. There's kind of a hole there as far as Division I comes geographically. And they have very competent leadership in Joel Taylor, their head coach. He's been an assistant in a lot of places. Most notably, he was on the staff with Mike Houston at the Citadel in 2015 and 2016 when the Bulldogs were able to win back-to-back SoCon championships, get to the playoffs, and beat SEC South Carolina. So he's been in a lot of places, worked for a lot of men who know how to coach football, and West Georgia is going to be a team that we're going to hear about for years. And for every Tarleton and every West Georgia, there's a North Alabama story, though. And, you know, like North Alabama was very successful in Division II. I think North Dakota State people kind of know that, and North Dakota people kind of know that. That was a name when they played at that level you saw frequently in the top 10 of D2. And their transition to D1 hasn't gone nearly as well. But they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. Gave Illinois State all they wanted last week, a 2-overtime game on the road. And frankly, probably should have won that game. They had a scoop and score that they blew the whistle on and said it wasn't a fumble. Then they went to replay and said it was a fumble, but you can't award them a touchdown because you blew the whistle. And then in overtime, there was a pretty questionable cut block outside the tackle box call, which all y'all know how I feel about that, that hurt them in overtime and on their two-point conversion that they had gotten on the play the penalty was, ended up being a two-point conversion from the 18-yard line. Good luck trying to make that, right?
Oh, so, boy.
So you have all of these teams that have transitioned or are transitioning, and we've yet to mention Rio Grande Valley, who is 4-0, and they have everything that they need to be successful there as well for the same reasons. In Texas, a lot of players. The university is balled in, literally balled in. They didn't build a stadium or you know, have one existing on the campus. They went and bought one. And if you're a brand new D1 football program and you went and just decided to start football and then stroke the check for a stadium, I'd say that you're going to be in pretty good financial shape. You know, some of the best programs in FCS don't own their own stadium. Did you get what I was laying down there?
Oh boy, we got the gloves going on, don't we?
I mean, you know, draw from that conclusion what you will.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, it's homecoming this weekend for North Dakota State. They're taking on the Coyotes of South Dakota.
Oh, were we talking about them?
Were we talking about a different?
That was a good segue there.
So when we look at NDSU's homecoming, I had head coach Tim Polisic's press conference Tuesday afternoon, his weekly presser, and he had talked about how South Dakota is getting their footing underneath them. Sure, Aiden Bauman hasn't played his best football to start, but nobody in the country has more reps at quarterback than Aiden does at this point. And from a direct quote from Coach, he said that South Dakota has North Dakota State's full attention. Of course, due to what happened last time they played in Fargo, paired up with the last time that those two teams played in the regular season down in Vermilion with that back-and-forth affair where Coach actually said South Dakota really kicked the crap out of them for 15 minutes and they had to play from behind. And then, of course, they coughed it up at the end. So with the two-minute question I have there, where are your thoughts as to where this game may and probably will go?
If you're South Dakota, this is one you kind of have to have. Everybody's questioning you. You haven't played especially well. You haven't looked especially good on the offensive side of the ball. But it's just like you mentioned, James. You've got Aiden Bauman. And if you have to go into that hostile environment on homecoming, there isn't a quarterback you'd rather have than Aiden Bauman if you're playing for the other team. And this needs to be his coming out party for this season. They need to get guys some separation down the field. What was the difference in those ball games the last 2 years with North Dakota State? It's that they were able to get the ball through the air down the field and get some explosive plays. And that has led to them being able to beat NDSU. You're not going to out NDSU the Bison, probably. You're not going to be able to line up and run power and then play action pass over the top. Nobody's better at being NDSU than NDSU is. We've seen that with teams really trying to emulate them, especially the Montana schools the last several years, and the one down in Brookings for that matter too. So you've got to be South Dakota. Don't try to be NDSU. You've got to get some of those plays down the field. And the running back game with L.J. Phillips needs to continue. If you're not able to have a whole bunch of success running between the tackles against NDSU, well, you've got to get the ball in that guy's hands creatively with swing passes, wheel routes, you know, things that allow him to have the football in open space where he's deadly. I expect this to be a pretty darn good football game. But USD, this is kind of the make or break for your season right here. If you want to be who people thought you were in the preseason, well, here's your opportunity to get that right back on track. And if you can go there and beat NDSU, well, your season looks a hell of a lot different on Saturday night than it did on Saturday morning, that's for sure.
Absolutely, Kevin. Now, when you look at the Coyotes, and not so much what they did last week against Drake, because Drake is, you know, they're an FCS school, I will say that. But football-wise, I haven't been overly impressed with them, you might say. But the 2 weeks prior to that, with USD playing at Lamar, playing subpar there and getting beat in Texas and then coming back and having to struggle in overtime with Northern Colorado, it seems as though with a stout of defense as I believe that NDSU has this year, I really think points are going to be at a premium in this game for the Coyotes, so that if they aren't able to score and only score 13 to 20 points, I don't know if they have much chance of winning, let alone being able to keep the ball away from NDSU and allow that offense of NDSU's really to kind of find their footing. So is it about controlling the line of scrimmage in this one for the Coyotes to try and have any chance in this one?
I mean, you kind of hope not, because that's NDSU's game, is controlling the line of scrimmage. You need to make this about two-play drives and kick an extra point. And then, you know, sprinkle in a 10 or a 12-play drive where you do the things that you talked about. You don't want to get in a situation where you're trying to run the ball 40 times against NDSU. You're not going to make a whole lot of hay doing that. So I think that the recipe for victory for the Coyotes will be explosive plays and do some things that NDSU hasn't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the special teams, maybe in a flea flicker here and there or something. To, you know, just don't line up and try to out NDSU them, because you're not going to be able to do that. South Dakota is going to have to do some things that nobody has seen on film this season yet to be able to go in there in that hostile environment in front of that crowd on homecoming and beat the Bison. It's a tall order, there's no doubt.
Yeah, we saw a couple years ago some of the big splash plays USD had in getting out to a quick lead to beat NDSU. Obviously last year, a big play at the end to win that one. we look at the other team from South Dakota, South Dakota State. They're hosting Mercyhurst this weekend, I believe.
They're playing football this week?
I guess, yeah. Is that going to be much of a game worth tuning into, or just based on name recognition for me, it seems like SDSU should be a huge favorite in this one.
Well, they are a huge favorite, but they were a huge favorite against Drake, too, and made Drake look a heck of a lot better than they probably are for three quarters, right? Mercyhurst, I like that football team. And, well, why do you like them, Kevin? They're not winning football games. Yeah, but that bunch is tough, man. Look at who they played so far. It's like the 2025 tour of pain is what it is. And their quarterback at Sac State, took a shot underneath his chin. And I don't think they put like a bandage on it. I think they just took like half a roll of gauze and some tape and taped his chin up and sent him back out there. It's a tough bunch. There's no doubt that they have, played an extremely tough schedule. And, but to kind of get into the back end of that, getting ready to get into conference play. So if you're Mercyhurst, you're probably pretty pleased this is the last time you're going to have to face a team for a minute that has a number and a single digit or the number symbol and a single digit right after it. You're not going to see that in the NEC, that's for sure. But this is a tough bunch. They'll play hard, and they'll play pretty well. I think this game is more about South Dakota State than it is Mercyhurst. Need to kind of show that what you put on film against Drake and what you allow Drake to put on film against you is the aberration, and what we saw against Montana State is going to prove the rule for the Jackrabbits.
Kevin, when you look at the Big Sky Conference schedule this week, you got a really interesting game, I think, in Idaho taking on Montana. Is this kind of the game of the week? Maybe in all of FCS with an Idaho team that should have beat San Jose State last week and obviously won a couple other ball games. Is this really a good game to watch out there out west?
Absolutely. Idaho's 7 points away from being undefeated and having two FBS wins. And if that's the case, they're probably the number one ranked team in the country if you do that. A lot of ifs there. If a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass when he hopped. So there's that. But you look at it, and what put Idaho on the map a couple of years ago under Jason Eck? It's when they went into Montana and won that and pretty much dominated that game in Missoula, which nobody really ever does. And they have another opportunity to do that this week. It'll be a hostile crowd. It'll be sold out. The fans are still right on top of the field there at Washington Grizzly Stadium, so it'll be a huge advantage for Montana. You go in there and you beat the Grizz, well, you've done something. And I am exceedingly excited to be there for that one. And I think that there'll be a lot of folks who are looking at this one, have it circled, and are really excited about this game in Missoula. But just down the road in Bozeman, you've got Eastern Washington at Montana State, and that'll be a big game. Eastern Washington doesn't do what they used to do on the offensive side of the ball, which is, score 70 points a game and throw it 65 times. They don't have those dudes there anymore. But Montana State's coming off a second half against Mercyhurst where, yeah, they shut them out, but they got shut out too. So I expect to see Montana State do some things on offense that maybe we haven't seen since the South Dakota State game, which is really, really try to push the ball down the field with Lamson, who has the ability to do it. This will be a good test in the state of Montana for both the Montana schools this week.
As we're running out this week's conversation, Kev, we had alluded to the Valley homecoming game with the Bison, Montana State. But what is a game or two outside of the Dakotas and the Montanas that we need to keep our eye on here this weekend?
There's several of them, y'all. You've got Mercer is at East Tennessee State, and Mercer trying to get back on track and get back in the top 25, although they are in some other ones. ETSU trying to kind of keep it rolling a little bit. They beat Elon last week. And one of the other great stories of the subdivision is Presbyterian College, right there in my home state of South Carolina. They're going to host Morehead State. They ought to handle them. The other games around the country, you know, are kind of interesting in that you've got number 9 Abilene Christian, in our poll anyway, is going to be at Incarnate Word. Maybe finally somebody can put a nail in the Incarnate Word love that has gone on for years. And y'all have heard me talk about it before. I've never been a part of that love fest. But there have been people that really have thought that Incarnate Word was the team that was going to challenge the Dakota and Montana schools. Doesn't look like it this year. Heck, it really never looked like it at all. It was just wishful thinking by some others. But those are some of the other games around the country. And I'd also circle this Weber State at UC Davis game. Weber State can hurt you offensively a little bit this year. Defense is pretty good. And I haven't been all that impressed with UC Davis as the season's gone on. So, and also, you know, in just weird type of things, we talked about West Georgia. Well, they get to go and play Southern Utah in a conference game. What a time to be alive.
That's almost as impressive as what is it, SMU and Cal playing in an Atlantic Coastal game.
Yeah,
I'm trying to explain that one to me. Texas like and California.
What a time to be alive. Both of them really close to the Atlantic coast.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. If by plane, it's only a couple hours for each of them.
And you fly, and you definitely fly over the Atlantic.
And last thing I got for you, Kev, what's on the docket for FCS Nation for those that are going to be tuning in on Saturday morning on WDAY radio?
Well, we'll do what we always do, y'all. We'll preview a lot more of the games and what we've talked about today. We'll get you updated on Alpha's Lemonade Stand, which is going to be a hard launch this week. And we'll also, you know, if you're so inclined to, you know, wager a little money here and there, we'll pick the games and perhaps help your pocketbook out a little bit. We appreciate everyone who listens each week. It means a lot to us. We put a lot of work into the show, and we do it because we love FCS football. And if somebody offered me or Labanowitz a job covering SEC football next week, we'd tell them no, because it's not what we love. We love FCS. We're FCS people. And regardless of what happens in the future, we're always going to be FCS people. We appreciate WDAY running the show, and I appreciate being on with the two of you each week. Thanks so much.
Yeah, okay. Hey, one final thing is before you hang up, I want to thank you and Stone as well and your crew at FCS Nation for the work you guys do put in each and every week, because Jace can attest to this. Yeah. We cover a local Division II university in Minnesota State Moorhead in the Northern Sun Conference, and we were looking at the national Division II poll this week, and we scratched our heads at about probably 8 of the top 25, a couple that we don't think should be in it, and a couple that we think should be flip-flopped. And we're not talking 1 or 2 spots. We're talking 8 or 10 spots. And I feel that same way when it comes to the FCS poll as well. And it seems like you guys hit on them a lot more accurately from my eyes and my perspective than some of those guys maybe that get themselves a ballot that watch maybe 3 games a week. So we appreciate you guys for that as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's Saturdays and Sundays are FCS football. You know, we watch the games live, and then the ones that, you know, I don't have enough TVs to watch them all on Saturday. Well, while other people are watching pro football, we're watching the games that we missed. So we do watch the games. And if you're in the top 25, we've had eyeballs on you the week before and that week, and we'll have eyeballs on you the next week. So, you know, we watch the games, and I think you can tell that by how we put together the top 25. But thanks for saying that. It means a lot.
Definitely. Well, hey, thanks, Kev. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week after another great week of college football.
Let's do it. Always nice to be on in Fargo. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Kev.